songwriter says there, and that ought to be true for us. I know sometimes
we get out there in daydream world, don't we? We get to thinking about what ifs, if I had this, and if I had all the money, and if I had the abilities and the talents and the treasures to accomplish this and that and the other. But I'm telling you, we have to fight those things sometimes in our thinking and in our minds and say, man, all I need is Christ Jesus. He's all I need. Amen? Well, take your Bible tonight. Let's look, if you will, in the book of Philippians. In the book of Philippians, chapter number 1, Paul writes to the church there at Philippi, and it gives them some encouragement, some instruction, and something to, you know, to be a blessing to them. And man, we need the same thing that they do. You know, when you study the book of Philippians, and we've said this a lot, and you've read it, and I've read it, and we've been through it at different times. And Philippians is a book that has as its primary focus joy. I mean, that's the idea. And I think, and we're going to look in chapter number 1, and as you look in chapter number 1, Paul opens it up, as he usually does in most letters, and he tells you, you know, there's a greeting that he gives and talks about what he's thinking about this church and how that, you know, and I know sometimes when you sit down and you're writing, let's just say you're writing a letter, you know, to a business or a personal letter, even sometimes you sit down, you begin to write things, and you think, well, this is the way that you start that. You know, maybe you say, dear sir, madam, blah, 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 hope all's going well, and, you know, go through a bunch of opening rigmarole. I'm telling you, I don't think that's Paul. I mean, what I mean is, he means what he's writing. I mean, our Bible tells us that all the Scriptures are inspired by the Holy Ghost of God. Amen? And if you and I are going to believe that, then we got to believe that everything that is written was divinely and heavenly inspired. And I believe that it is. I believe when Paul says these things that he says about, you know, I thank God every time I think about you and all my remembrances, I believe he means that. I don't think he's just trying to be nice and friendly and, you know, try to be a good fella. I believe he absolutely means those things. And we're going to look at that tonight, if you will. And let's begin in verse number 1. We'll just, you know, just for context's sake, and we'll go down through verse 11. Paul says this. He says, Paul and Timothy, and to me and you, that's Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, as always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye are all partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. For this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, and that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. Let's have a word of prayer, if you would. Father, thank you, Lord, again for this evening. Thank you again for your word. Thank you for this time of fellowship, this time of worship, this time of getting together, and this time of seeing each other and just singing songs together. Just praying together, praising you together, all the things that you've done for us. Thank you, dear Lord. Thank you for the morning service and a good time, the good spirit, the good moving of the Holy Ghost. And God, I'm so thankful you're still saving old sinners. You're going to save somebody. Lord, we're just looking to you and expecting you to do it now. I pray you just move on our hearts and speak to our hearts here tonight. as we worship Him, and as we thank You, and as we pray for the lost and have them on our hearts and souls. And we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. I want to preach to you tonight on this thought. And as I said, you know, the whole book of Philippians is about joy. Paul talks about, you know, rejoicing, joy, having joy in your heart. And, he says here in verse number 3, he said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. And then he says in verse 4, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy. Now, isn't that unusual that Paul is in his thinking, he's thinking about these people, but when he thinks about them, I believe you can see a smile on his face. I believe you can see him there, and he's just smiling and saying, man, that's a great group of Christian folk over there at Philippi, and I'm just thankful that I got to be with them, got to be among them, and have the opportunity and the pleasure of giving them the gospel and being a blessing. And look how they bless me. And he just begins to smile. You got anybody in your life you ever think about like that sometimes? I mean, when you think back and you think about people that have impacted your life in some way, and you just can't help but have a little smile on your face when you begin to think about them. Amen? And you know who we generally do that of, most of us? That's we think about our children and our grandchildren. And sometimes you sit and think about them. And you think about some little silly thing or some little whatever thing that they did, and it just brings a smile to your face. I mean, it just makes, and you just, man, I'm glad I got to think about that. I'm glad that that happened in my life, and I'm sitting here thinking about that. And it just, you know, it just brightens your day, brightens your heart, gives you a little bit of joy. And here is Paul doing that same very thing when he's thinking about these people at Philippi and what they've done for him. I mean, it's brought him some joy, and now he in turn is trying to bring some back to them in some measure if he can. So I want to preach to you tonight, joyfully thinking of you. Joyfully thinking of you. And that's the way we ought to be, joyfully thinking about those that God has put in our lives. And Paul says this, he said, man, I have joy because I remember you. That's what he said here. Always in every prayer of mine, when I'm making a request, I do it with joy. He said, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day till now. He said, when I sit here and I think about you, it just brings me some joy. I mean, it just does something for me. Look over in chapter number 3. Flip over in your Bible and notice this. In chapter number 3 and verse number 1, he's writing this letter. And he thinks he's about through, but he's like a preacher. He's, you know, he's going to say, I'm closing, but he'll go in about 30 more minutes. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. He said, boy, let me tell y'all, if I hadn't told you before, hey, have some rejoicing in your life. And then look in chapter number 4 and look in verse number 4. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. So his whole idea here is for them to have the joy that he does when he thinks about them. I want y'all to have joy, Paul said. I want y'all to have the same kind of joy that I got. I mean, you know, in that second part, when Paul gets down there to chapter number 4, he says, finally, in chapter 3, verse 1, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. You know, he's saying that's the last thing. But you know what? He gets on over and he's writing. He says, I just don't know what else to say, but you know what I'm going to say? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I don't know what else to say, but rejoice. Amen? I mean, that's just the theme for this church. Rejoice. And can I tell you, that ought to be one of the constant themes of any of us in the body of Christ as a local church. There'll be some joy. Amen? I mean, we ought to have some joy. Did you not enjoy what we had this morning? I mean, wasn't that joy? Man, that was, as that song said, joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. Now, I know that don't happen all the time, but I'm telling you, there's probably no reason why it can't. I mean, why we can't experience that kind of joy in the Lord. I'm going to just rejoice in what He has done for all of us. So let's look at Paul and his thinking here with these people and what he's saying about them. And I want you to notice this first of all. Paul is talking about when I'm joyfully thinking of you, when I'm thinking about, and it just brings a smile to face when I'm thinking about you, I want you to understand he does that because that there is a connection with him and them in the gospel. He's connected with them in the gospel. Now, do you understand that all of us here tonight, we have a commonality, we have a connection in our life, and that connection is in the gospel, all right? I mean, the biggest thing, I don't see most of you every day. I don't see most of you maybe more than three times a week or whatever it is. We just don't see, and y'all don't see each other that much. I mean, maybe if there's somebody here that's your relative, your husband, your wife, or your kids, or whatever, you probably see them. But you don't see the majority any more times than that, right? You just don't. But we do have a commonality. We got something that connects us together, and thank God it's Jesus. Amen. Aren't you glad Jesus has brought me and you together into this place? He's brought us to a place where we're connected. Amen. Oh, thank God. Paul said, when I think about y'all, and I think about how things went when I was there, and then I had to leave, and I still check back on you, I want you to know I'm still hooked up. I'm still connected. We're still together in the fellowship of the gospel. Amen. Notice what he says right there in verse number 4 again. He said, always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making request, he's requesting through his prayer, with joy, he said, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. He said, from the first day I was there with you, and I prayed for you, and now all this time, we don't know how long, we don't have any idea how long it is, a pretty good period of time, has elapsed. He said, and even now, I'm still praying for you because you're connected to me. We have a fellowship in the gospel. We have a fellowship in the gospel. And that's the way that we are. We are fellow believers. Now, there's a word here, that word fellowship. You see it, don't you? Well, that word fellowship in the Greek is the word koinonia. Koinonia. And, you know, somebody said, well, what does that mean? Well, it is the word that we develop fellowship from, the word fellowship. So, you know, somebody said, well, what's fellowship? And I guess, as I said a lot of times, the cutesy little answer is, it's two fellows in the same ship, right? I mean, that's what we think fellowship is. But actually, what the idea behind fellowship is this. In fellowship, it is a joint venture between two or more parties that have a common goal. Amen? Hey, have we got something in common? We better have. I mean, as being saints of God, as being the saved of the Lord Jesus Himself, thank God we got something in common. Amen. We got something in common. I mean, Paul says, look, we're connected together. We're all hooked up in this thing. And Paul said, here he is going out, still traveling, still establishing churches, still making things for the Lord, working for the Lord, doing things and all that. And he's left them behind, but they're still connected. Amen? I mean, I don't know if y'all ever notice it, and if you really pay attention to it, but sometimes, like when missionaries come in here, these missionaries keep up with us. Amen? I mean, we keep up with them. You know, they send us a letter. Brother Larry gets those, and he posts them out there, and you can see how they're doing. But I want to tell you, a lot of them keep up with us. I mean, you'd be surprised. Sometimes we've had some of them from wherever they are, they'll jump on the website on the Facebook site, and they'll watch the service for tonight or for some other time. They'll get on. You know why? Because they're connected to us. They love us. They want to be part of us. And man, that's the way that it ought to be. That's how you can have some joy in this thing, is because we're all connected together. Amen? We ought to all be able to rejoice
over each other, and if it takes it, I mean, we can pray with each other, we can cry with each other, but thank God we sure can rejoice with each other, can't we? And that's what Paul's saying. Hey, y'all are part of me, I'm part of y'all. Amen? Now, there's some places, sometimes me and Lynn go, of course, we go to these preachers' fellowships, and that's a whole other group to itself, but you know what? We're all connected, and it's because of the gospel. It's not because we don't all belong to the same church. Most of them guys pastor and they got their own churches and all that. But we're all connected to them. We get together and we just have to sit down. Sometimes they say, well, how are things going down there at Old Bethel? And I say, well, how are things going on up here at Calvary Baptist up in Knoxville or over at Grace Baptist down here in Roxbury or whoever it is? And we're just connected. We're just connected to one another. How is that? We're same. We're body, the body of Christ. We're all members of that same body. We're all hooked up together because of Jesus. Amen. Amen. And that's the way that the Lord wants this thing for me and you. He wants it. And as I say, listen, they're connected. They share in some kind of a common goal and a common finality. Hey, can I tell y'all something? We all going somewhere. And we're going together. Now, we may leave at different times, but buddy, we all getting there together. Amen? I mean, you think about here over the past several years, some of those that we have lost that have left us. But you know what we do? We gather with that family over at the funeral home, and we weep with them. And our hearts are broken with them. But then, thank God, we have that assurance that one day we're going to go meet with that one again. Why? Because there's a connection between all of us, and it's through the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want you to just see this real quickly, how Paul says, look, you folks, I am thankful for the way that we're connected. Look, flip over to chapter 4, and I know we've already been over there once, but look what he says in chapter number 4, and look down at verse number 14. Paul is talking about here's how they're connected. He says in verse 14, notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate. That means you helped me with my affliction. Now, ye Philippians know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. Verse 16, for even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Amen? Boy, when that check came in, I'm being facetious there, it wasn't a check, I don't know what it was, whatever they sent. Hey, Paul looked at it and it said, Paul, the church at Philippi loves you and we just wanted to send this to you. And don't you know what? Woo! He began to shout, rejoice, and praise God. You know what? They're connected. He said, I remember them. Hey, I don't know who it is that he remembered, but there's certain ones of them. He mentions them a few times about certain ones in there. But I'm telling you, he said, I remember every one of you. Amen. And I praise God for you. They're hooked up by giving. I mean, they just said, well, Paul needs something. Let's go help him. Amen. Don't you like that when people in the church say, you know, so-and-so needs some help. Well, let's just go help them. Let's just go be a blessing. Let's just, man, if we can take money, if we can take food, if we can take, you know, whatever it is, let's just go do it. Amen. And you know what? That hooks people up together. So Paul says we're connected, and I can see it through your giving. But not only that, look here in this chapter. And verse number 19 in chapter number 1, Paul says this, for I know that this, and he's talking about the afflictions and the troubles and all this that he's having, I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. He said, we're hooked up because y'all are praying for me. Woo! Aren't you glad there's people praying for you? I mean, we got to pray for each other. Paul said that's one way we connect. I'm telling you, when we come here on Wednesday nights and people begin to make their requests, I mean, I don't know all these people that you know and that you mentioned that are sick and that have these situations. I don't know them all. But you know what? I can pray with you. I don't have to know it. God knows it all. And we're hooked up together because we can pray. Amen. Right? And Paul said, boy,
y'all have prayed for me when I was in these situations. Well, not only that, he said, let me tell you something else, how we're connected together. We're connected together by our suffering some things in common. Look at the very end of this chapter. Paul says in verse number 29, he says, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake. Listen, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here to be in me. Y'all have suffered, and y'all have suffered the same way that I suffered. And that sounds strange to me and you, but Paul says that connects us. Do you realize that that connects people in the Lord? People that are saved. You can go to them and you say, hey, I know what you're going through. Amen? I know what you're hurt with. I know how your loss is affecting your life. And you know what? Because I've been there. But aren't you glad we can all kind of connect through those things? Because we're saved by the same Lord, and the same Lord is going to take care of their need like He's taking care of your need. Amen? And that's what Paul is saying. He said, look, buddy, we're in this thing together. Y'all got problems, I got problems, we got problems together. Let's just rejoice in the Lord. Now, as I say, that sounds kind of unusual, but that's what he's saying. That's what we ought to do. That's one way. And listen, another thing that he says in chapter number 4, he says we should be connected. He says he's connected with them because of the way that they are witnessing some things. Look what he says in chapter 4, verse 2. He said, I beseech Euodias and I beseech Syncyte that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Now apparently there's some folks there and they're not thinking exactly the same, but he said, I'm asking that those two get their differences straightened out. He said, and I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. We're connected in this thing, y'all. He said, y'all to help somebody. I mean, tell them, hey, give them a witness about what God's done and what He can do. Don't get on them. Don't badmouth them. Don't lowball them. He said, get in there and help them. Amen. Help one another. And that's what He says. We're to do these things because through those things, we're to help each other. We're to encourage each other. I mean, listen, there was a great missionary many years ago by the name of William Carey. And he was going to go to India. And he went to some folks that he knew, and they said, well, you know, we can support you, but we just don't know what else to do. I mean, he tells them, he said, man, your financial support's great. I need your prayers. But he said, well, it's kind of like this. I'll go down the rope, but y'all hold on to the end. Amen? You know, that's what it is. Sometimes we're just up here holding it. But he's going to climb down the rope. You and I are just holding on. You know, that's the way it is when you look at missions and folks that are laboring. You can't do what they're doing, but you sure can help them. Amen? You can help them in whatever they're doing. And again, that connects you to them. That connects you to them. So Paul talks about there about a connection that they have. When I'm thinking about you and I'm smiling, Paul says, I think about that connection that we have. But a second thing that he says, when I'm thinking about y'all and I'm smiling about it, he said, I do it because I have a confidence that there is about you. Look what he says there in chapter number 1 again, and down at verse number 5, he says this, being confident of this very thing. Paul said, there is something that I'm confident in about you folks. That y'all are the smartest, brightest bunch? No. You're the richest? No. You're the most well-to-do? No. He said, I'm confident of this very thing. Listen to what he says. That he, and that's the Lord himself, which hath begun a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Paul said, I want you to know, I've got a confidence in what God's doing in you. First of all, he talks about the commencement of this work. He said, God has begun a good work in you. Can I tell you that the youngest and the weakest Christian that we have in this church, God has begun a good work in you. You know what we do sometimes? I've been there. You've been there. I mean, I got saved in 1972. And I'm not the Christian that I was in 1972. I'm not that in 2025. Things have changed, and hopefully I've matured just a little bit. But you know what? When I was saved in 1972, I want to tell you something. I wasn't going to get no more saved. I wasn't going to get no more of His salvation than what I had right then. I was just as saved as ever. I was kind of dumb. I was kind of green. I was kind of unlearned and just didn't know nothing. I didn't know nothing about the Bible. And I mean, hey, I just knew I was saved. Amen? You ever see anybody that's young and gets saved? And I mean young in their salvation. And man, they can hoop and holler. And you ask them and say, well, can you tell me 4 theological attributes of God? No, but I can tell you I'm saved. Woo! Hallelujah! Amen? You know what? It don't matter about some of that stuff. Now, we learn that. We get deeper. We understand. As we go further and further, sure, we got some of those things. But can I tell you, when you get saved, and you first get saved, God has begun a good work in you. I mean, He starts. This thing starts when He saves you. And Paul said, I'm confident that the one that started this thing, when He started a good work, and you know what? I've seen folks, and you have too, and I mean, like I say, young in the faith, and they do some things, say some things, and whatever. And you just, sometimes I just have to smile, and I say, been there and done that. I mean, it's probably not very spiritually mature, but I've been there too. I said some dumb stuff. I know, who was it the other day? Was it Brother Paul Taylor or somebody? I think it was Brother Paul. Brother Paul Taylor said, I got a stack of cassette tapes. He said, I got a stack of them when I first started preaching. He said, I got some in my closet when I first started preaching. He said, I'm going to tell y'all something. We ain't going to listen to them tapes. And I'm telling you the same thing. Oh, my goodness. I probably said some dumb stuff. I've said dumb stuff for many years, but that's probably some of the dumbest that you ever said, right? But as I say, hopefully you gain some ground. Because He that hath begun a good work. I mean, that's a good work. When God begins in your heart, you're not perfect. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to do things and you're going to slip up. You're going to fall. And you're going to go right on your face. But God's working on you. He said, He that hath begun a good work. That's the commencing of it. He said, He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it. He said, He will perform it. That's the continuing of this thing. To perform is to accomplish something until it gets to the state of completion. Right? To perform something. If you're going, God started something, and now He's in the process of working it on through. Amen. Let me ask y'all something. When Abraham took Isaac to sacrifice him, how long had he known the Lord? Years and years and years. I mean, if you remember, God spoke to Abraham, and I don't know, whatever age he was, I can't remember right now, but he followed the Lord for all of these years, and then when he's nearly 100, his son Isaac, boy, I think maybe let's say Abraham was 70 when all this stuff started. All right, he's followed God for 30 years, and he finally gets the promised son. And now we're probably 20 years or so longer, and here he is. I mean, he's known God for 50 years, and God said, I got a test I want to put on you. Take your son, your only son. Well, do you think Abraham could have stood that test when he first met God? Probably not. Do you think he could when Isaac was born? Probably not. But now, through a process of maturity, God is performing a work in the life of Abraham. And God says, get up and go to a place that I will tell thee of. And you know what he does? The next morning, he arose and he went. You know why? Because he had enough of what had happened in his life to know that he could trust God with whatever God said. He matured. God was performing some things in his life. Can I tell you this? You go back. You know, we've been studying David. And David is, man, he's messed up, ain't he? He's as messed up as y'all are. Amen. Getting close to me, but he's messed up as y'all are. Now, listen, David had faults. David had failure. David had sin. And I'm telling you, guess what? Abraham did too. Wow. Isn't that amazing to hear that about those? Well, think about how great Abraham was. Yeah, well, Abraham lied about who Sarah was a couple of times, that it was his sister instead of his wife. Amen? And that probably ain't the only mess he made. But what I'm telling you is, it's a process. God, he started a good work, and he's going to perform that good work. It's a continual thing. This is a continuing process. You're gaining some ground every day. Amen? You're getting closer to the Lord, or you should be getting closer to the Lord. Every day of your life, you ought to be learning some things and not make those mistakes you made 20 years ago or 25 years ago or, you know, 4 years ago or 3 years ago. I mean, you learn and you grow. So this thing is a continuing process. God's going to perform this good work on the inside of you. But look about this. He talks about the coming of the Lord himself. He said that he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. One of these days, it's going to be a finished deal, y'all. One of these days, it's going to be done. And what God's doing in our lives, it's going to be over. You're going to walk into heaven one day, and thank God, you're going to say, woo, hallelujah, I'm through with all that back there. It's done. It's over with. I mean, all of the trials, all of the testings, all of the problems, all of the burdens, all of the care, all the tear, all the sorrow, it's gone, y'all. It's gone. Hallelujah. And you're going to walk in, and he's going to look at you, and he's going to smile, I believe, and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you a ruler over many. Amen. Hey, that ain't just for preachers and teachers and singers and all that. It's for anybody that serves him. God's going to do that. He's going to work and do that, perform that work in your life until the day that the Lord Jesus comes and gets us all and takes us home. He's going to, listen, he's going to be there. Amen. And we're going to be there. And God is the one that is doing this thing. God's the one that's doing this. I mean, In this confidence, the idea of this, when Paul says that he'll perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, the idea of that day is that it's a day we're going to see him face to face. Amen? Face to face. You know, recently here, we've just had people graduate from high school, colleges, and all that. And, man, I can remember going through, I barely remember going through high school. I can remember going through college and all that. And you know what you're looking for? You're looking for that day when you walk across that stage and they hand you that diploma and they shake your hand and they say, congratulations, you made it. That's that day, isn't it? That's the day. That's the day that we'll stand there before Jesus one day. And he's going to say, congratulations, you are home. And we're going to say, praise the Lord, it's all because of you. It isn't anything that I've done at all. Amen? But Paul says, look, you bring a smile to my face. You bring some joy to my heart when I'm thinking about you. We're connected. I have a confidence in you. When I think about you, Paul is saying, man, there's just a smile on my face because I'm confident. You ever looked at that? I mean, you ever worried about somebody and you see them doing something and you sit there at the beginning and you think, man, they ain't going to make it. They can't do this, whatever it is. I mean, You know, one of the scariest things there is for most of us as parents, turn your kids loose with, first of all, a bicycle and try to let go of that, you know. You ever been there? You're out there trying to help them. You're holding them. And then finally, you got to let go and let them pedal and let them do it. And they're going to fall and they're going to hold you. Just, oh. Hey, I'm going to tell you what's even worse. Reach in there. Say, I'm about to give you the keys to that car out there, I think. You know, and you're going to drive. And I can remember when Casey started driving, me and Judy sit at home. We sit on the couch. We wouldn't have TV on. We'd sit there and say, where do you think they are now? How do you think he's doing? Think he's had that wreck yet? Think we ought to go check on him? Think I ought to go out and do? I mean, that's the way it is, right? I mean, you just like, whew. Boy, can I tell you, God don't sweat that because he knows what we are and who we are. But can I tell you, man, that's us. We worry about that thing. But God, Paul said, I'm confident that he's going to get us through until that day. He's gonna get us through to that time. And then he says, look, we all have. And I smile because I think about you. And because of our connection. And because of that confidence that I have. But last of all, he says, I smile because I have a certain conviction that I know that I have about and toward you. Look what he says in verse number 8. He said, for God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. I mean, he said, I want y'all to know, you're on my heart. You're in my thoughts continually. He said, and for he says, this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Paul says, first of all, I want y'all to know this, whether you know it or not already. Paul says, I have a passionate love for you people. I just want y'all to know that I really do love you. Amen? I mean, Paul is saying that. I really want you to know that I love you. You know, sometimes all of us, we have trouble saying that sometimes. Don't we? We have trouble. And you know, we just need to tell folks that we do love them. If you passionately and sincerely, Paul said, you know, he said, for God's my record, how greatly I long after you. I mean, I'm just so concerned and I'm so heart-laden with you. He said, it's just on the inside of me all the time. You're there in my heart. You're there. And he said, because of that, I'm praying for something. But I mean, listen, he loves them. He cares for them. He worries over them. He labors for them. I mean, they're partners with him in this whole deal. He said, I just want y'all to know, you're something special to me. Amen? I mean, hey, that's the way this church is. You're special to me. We may not say that to each other as much as we ought to, but I love you, and I trust that you love me, and we got this connection. Amen? And that means we do stuff for each other. That means we labor for each other. That means we pray for each other. That means we help each other when those occasions arise. Right? And Paul said, I just want y'all to know I've got a passionate love for you. But he said, I want you to know beyond that, that I pray for you as my fellow believer in Christ. Listen to what he says in verse number 9. And this I pray. He said, this is my prayer for you, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. I mean, he said, I'm praying for you. Now listen to how he says he's praying. He says, I pray, this is how I'm praying for you, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. God said, I'm praying that you would develop the godly kind of love that helps you understand and make better and the best judgments. I mean, I want you to do what's right and what's godly and what's right. And I'm praying. And you know how he said you get there? It's by your love. He said, if God develops the right kind of love in you and your love motivates you, you'll have a better knowledge. You'll have a better thought process. You'll have a better understanding. And you'll want to do what's right. Because what's right is what's going to help you and other folks. Me and Brother Alvin was talking about this right before service tonight, a little bit about the folks over in Corinth. You know, when Paul talks to the Corinthian church, he has to get on to them, right? I mean, he's constantly getting on to them. You know why he has to get on them? Because they like themselves. Well, guess what I am? Guess who I am? If you'll look at it, go back and study that sometime. And I think they're doing that in their Sunday school class. Paul keeps trying to tell them, y'all think y'all a bunch of big shots. Amen?
Yep. Well, I speak in tongues. Well, I have the gift of prophecy. I have this and I have that.
Go back and read that. And that's what Paul is saying. And as a matter of fact, you know, Paul goes through and he says, look, God needs every one of us. There's no bigger than the rest of your little. And that's the way they thought. Well, you don't know who I am. Yeah, we know who you are, but you're not who you think you are. Amen? And as he's telling them that, at the end of chapter number 12, go look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. At the very end of that, Paul is getting on them, and they think, I got a spiritual gift. Woo, I'm somebody. You know what Paul says? And that's in the Greek. Amen. You go back and read that in the Greek. And that's what he says. But at the very end of that, he says, he really says this. He said, but I show unto you a more excellent way. And you think, okay, what is that more excellent way? Chapter 13. He said, though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels, and I do all this, don't give my body to be burned, you know, all this. He said, if I don't have love or charity, he said, it ain't worth a dime. Right? Isn't that what he said? And then you can go through that whole chapter, and he talks about how great that charity or love is. And at the end of what he said, these three things abide. Faith, hope, and charity. And the greatest of these is charity. What he's saying is this. You've got to learn how to love more than anything else. When you get some love of the Lord, now I'm not talking about what the world calls love, but you get God's love on the inside of you, and you let that do the work that it's supposed to do. When that works like that, then buddy, you realize you've got something. You do have something then. You don't go around bragging and saying, well, you know, I'm the world's greatest singer. I'm the world's greatest preacher. I'm the world's greatest teacher. You don't start that. But that's what they were doing. They were lifting themselves up, putting others down. If you remember, they were doing that. He said, some of y'all, you're coming to church and y'all are having these love feasts and you're excluding some because they're just not worthy of you because they don't have what you have. And y'all over here with your little bunch. Amen? And he said, and you think you're something when you're not anything at all. Well, that's what Paul is saying here. I'm praying for you as a church at Philippi that your love, that the love that God gives you will help you understand and help you make good judgments. Good judgments. And he says that in this judgment, listen to what he says. Verse number 10, that you may approve things that are excellent. You know what that means when he says you may approve? He said that you can find out and do what's the very best. Get the hold of the very best stuff. He said because then you will be, he says, sincere, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. In other words, sincere means that you are, well, really, that word means without wax. You said, without wax, yeah, that's what it means. You don't have any wax. Back in those days, the people that sold the pottery and the statues and that kind of stuff, if something got a little crack in it and it brought down their value, they'd go out and they'd get this wax, fill in the cracks, blend the color so that it looked like the rest of the pot, and they'd sell it for full price. Y'all ladies like to go over where they got that half-price stuff, don't you? It's got a little chip in it, but I can fix that. Yeah, well, these guys were getting it, and they were fixing it, and they're selling it for full price. And when people would take it home, and they'd sit it around, and the heat would get to it, the wax would melt, and the flaws would appear. And they'd say, I've been taken. Listen, the Lord says here He wants us to be sincere without any kind of fakery or chips or cracks or whatever. He wants you to be sincere in your understanding, your knowledge, and your judgment, and without offense. If you're judging some things, do it in a non-offensive way. You can do it truthfully. You can do it rightfully. But you don't have to be offensive while you're doing it. Amen? That's what He's saying. And then last of all, notice that He says this. That's what He's been praying for them. But then He says, look, in verse number 11, I'm just looking for a little produce in the life of all you fellow believers. He said, been filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and the praise of God. I mean, Paul is looking for them to have the fruits of righteousness. The fruits of, what are the fruits of righteousness? Well, on over here, Paul talks about how that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, faith, meekness, temperance. He says, against such there's no law. I mean, those are some things. They're the fruits of having a righteous life. They tell the story. Some of you probably heard or seen the movie Lawrence of Arabia. Y'all heard Lawrence of Arabia? He was a real guy. And he had a group of nomadic people from the Arabian lands that he took with him to a real fine hotel in London. And now these people were nomadic. You know, they got out and they traveled the desert and they'd stop at wells or they would get containers and put water in it. So they didn't know anything about anything modern, okay? So when they got to this London hotel, they were kind of looking around and they were wondering about some of those things that they, you know, what do we do for water? And old Lawrence takes them in to the bathrooms and the kitchen areas of the hotel, of the rooms they're in, and he turns on a water spigot. And he said, look here. Turns that handle, water runs out. They go, wow, we've never seen that before. And they hadn't. They'd never seen anything. So they find out, man, all you got to do is turn that handle, water comes. Wow, hallelujah. Well, after their stay, a couple of weeks, whatever it was, they got ready to go. He was trying to get everybody hustled up. And he went into some of the rooms, and they had taken the faucets off of the wall. And he said, why did y'all do that? They said, we want to take this with us. And wherever we go, all we got to do is turn the handle, and the water will come out. And he said, let me tell you, it don't work like that. It don't work like that. What do you mean? We was doing it before. Yeah, but you got to be hooked up to the right source for that thing to work. And that's what Paul, he said, I want y'all to get hooked up to the right source so that you'll have some fruits of righteousness. Not from you. It ain't something you can just, oh, I'm just going to carry this with me and it'll be. No. You got to get hooked up to the right thing for that water spigot to work. It don't work just free and freestanding out here in the middle of nothing. I'm just telling you, friend, some of us think sometimes we can just poof, make things happen. You got to be hooked in to the Lord. And Paul said, I want y'all. I'm praying for y'all. I'm looking for y'all to have these fruits in your life. But you've got to be hooked in to the right thing, which is the Lord Himself. And let Him do these works through you because it's of Him. It's through you, but it's of Him. Amen? Oh, listen, I'm glad tonight. Paul says, look, every time I think about y'all, I just smile. I just smile. We got a connection. I've got the confidence that I have in you all. And I just got some convictions about what God's going to do in your lives. Amen? And I think you and I ought to think the same thing and have those same things. Realize we got a connection. But God wants to do something through you and with you as a member in this church and as a member of His body and whole. Amen? All we got to do is just say, yes, Lord, here I am, and let Him work. Brother Ronnie, come on, let's sing something tonight. Maybe there's somebody you need to come pray about something. You need to come pray for somebody. Whatever it may be. God may be speaking to your heart about something this